We're going to discuss agenda paper 5, 6, 7, and 8. So we will start from agenda paper 5, employment benefit. I would like to hand over to Zheng.
Thank you, Zheng Qiang. The purpose of this session is to obtain SMIT members' views on alignment with the 2011 amendments to IS 19, as well as a separate topic related to simplifications in measurement of defined benefit obligation as permitted by paragraph 28.19. As we will ask five questions in total during this session, we summarized in slide number 4 these questions for your easy reference. Now, let's move on to page 6 for the alignment question first. Question S8 in the request for information asks the views on aligning section 28 with 2011 amendments to IS 19 only in respect of the recognition requirements for termination benefits. Most respondents to the request for information agreed with alignment for termination benefits. Slide 7 provides the detail of the alignment, and slide 8 outlines the views of the respondents that did not support the alignment. Let's move on to slide 9. The board did not ask for views on aligning presentation of actuarial gains and losses, and thereby the accounting policy choice in paragraph 28.24 will be retained. That option is to present actuarial gains and losses either in profit loss or in other comprehensive income. With that, we would like to ask members' view. Firstly, do you agree with the staff's proposal to align section 28 with the 2011 amendments to IS 19 only in respect of the recognition requirement for termination benefit? And secondly, what are your views on whether to eliminate the option to present actuarial gains and losses on defined benefit plans, either in profit loss or in OCI? With that, I will hand over back to Chen Qiao and SMI members.
Thanks, Zheng. We have two questions to ask you for your comments, and I would like to see whether SMIG members, do you have any comments and questions on Zheng's proposal? Billing, I see.
Billing. Thank you, Chen Qiao. I support eliminating the option, as this is consistent with the SMA standard, whereby full IFRS provide an accounting policy choice. Only the simpler option is included in the SMA standard. I also support aligning the recognition of termination benefits such that they would be recognized at the earlier of when the entity can no longer withdraw the offer of those benefits and when any related restructuring costs are recognized. The issue of termination benefit have now become more prevalent following the COVID-19 pandemic. Thank you.
Thank you, Billy. And Daniel.
Related to this first question, as for the first conclusion of the staff, but the second about the second question, I think is better to have the option of to carry the gains or loss foreign gains and losses. To other comprehensive income. I think it's a simplified standard. It's a better option.
Okay, thank you, Daniel. And next, Qi, please.
Thank you, Jin Qiao. I agree with the staff proposal in question 1 and question 2. For question 1, considering the simplification and the cost-benefit principle, it's not necessary to fully adopt the measurement requirements in IAS 19 for termination benefits for SME standards. And I think it's feasible only aligning the recognition right requirements for termination benefits and includes the measurement and the disclosure requirements for termination benefits. For question two, and I think the option is deleted in the revised IAS 19 in 2011, which requires that actuarial gains or losses shall be uniformly included in OCI and shall not be carried forward into profit or loss. In order to align between SME standards and IFRS, I think the same method should also be adopted for the actuarial gains and losses. So I support the staff's proposal. Thank you.
Thanks, Chi. Very good comments. I also see Angelia raised hands. Angelia, do you want to come back to comments again? Or Angelia, are you there? Maybe I will come back to you again later. Vijay, please.
Thank you, Jinchak. On question number one, I am in sync with the staff proposal. I agree with it. On question number two, I am in favor of eliminating the option and taking it to OCI.
Thank you, Vijay. Very clear comments. Thank you. Saifullah?
I also agree with the first question that with the staff recommendation, and regarding second question, the option should be eliminated. Actuarial gain losses should be recognized in OCI to avoid distortion of the result of normal business. Actuarial gain losses normally arise on the factors which are normally beyond the control of the entity, so it should be eliminated. The option should be eliminated and should be shown in the OCI. Thank you.
Thank you. Very clear comments. And any other comments or questions on those two questions? Yeah. No, I think we can move on. Yeah.
Thank you, Jinqiao.
Thank you.
Let's move on to page 12. The second topic of this session is...
Sorry, I think that is one. Okay. You removed.
Yeah,
I have to put on and then down. Sorry. Go ahead.
The second topic of this session is about the measurement simplifications for defined benefit obligations permitted by paragraph 28.19. Before diving into the detail, can we first ask a question about whether SMEs frequently need to apply defined benefit accounting, as we would like to understand the relevance of a defined benefit plans to SMEs? This is our question on page 12. And over back to Zhenqiao.
Thank you. This is about the question. This is about the defined benefit plan, and the question asked is that because we talk about, discuss about a defined benefit plan a lot, but the first question we need to ask is whether you know it is common within SMEs. So this how frequently your guys encounter all these defined benefit plans. So we would like to first to listen the feedback from you on this question. Thank you. Vijay? Vijay, would you like to comment?
I didn't raise hand, but I'd like to share. As far as our jurisdiction is concerned, defined benefit plans are applicable for all entities which have more than 20 employees. So it's fairly common to see defined benefit plans, and entities are fairly used to applying the actuarial method and whatever present requirements we have, including the disclosures.
Thank you. Very good feedback. And Safula? Saifula? Maybe you go first. Go ahead.
Actually, I raised my hand for the previous question. It was not for this question, but it's applicable in all jurisdiction. It's being used by the SMEs.
Thank you. Billy?
Thank you, Chen Chia. Contrary to Vijay, in our jurisdiction, more common is the defined contribution plans. The experience, specifically the SME on the defined benefit plan.
Thank you. Raymond.
Thank you, Jin Xiao. Across Zimbabwe and South Africa, as we sit at the moment, defined benefit schemes are not a commonplace at all. If anything, you'll find them in organizations that are not in the SME space or that are not in the private sector space. So it's not something that I think we've got a lot of experience on at all from this part of the world. Thank you.
Thank you. Very helpful. And Chi, please.
Thank you, Jin Qiao. Actually, in China, the defined benefit plan is not very prevailing. And I found that DBP were generally carried out in some large entities because there are some restraints for SMEs. So SMEs are really able to burden the expenses related to the DBP for employees. So I expect that SME wouldn't adopt in DBP frequently in China. Yeah.
Thank you. Stefan?
Yes, thank you. Where I come from, the most common is the contribution plans rather than the benefit plans, especially for SMEs. I could mention that when we implemented the IFRS for SME in Sweden, we actually chose not to implement the existing rules on benefit plans. And adopted some simplified rules instead, which reflects more specific the situation in Sweden. For example, if a company have a benefit plan, they usually make payments to another party, which help them to calculate the actual debt. So I suppose that the conditions varies quite a lot in different geographical areas. Thank you.
Thanks, Stephen. And next, Angelia.
Yes, in my part of the world, in the Eastern Caribbean in particular, the vast majority of companies tend to apply the defined contribution plans. And for that matter, the larger companies are actually moving away from the defined benefit plans for the simple reason that they have found it to be a lot more costly for the institution. So for us, the move is towards defined contribution plans for most entities. Thank you.
Thank you. Very good information. And Daniel?
Thank you. In our jurisdictions, SMEs do not usually have defined benefit plans, but those that do should apply the project we've been making it, you know, that's, IAC.
Daniel, sorry to interrupt, but we're having a little bit of problem hearing. Would you mind speaking up?
Sorry. Didn't you hear me?
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah, better, yeah.
So, you want to repeat what I said?
Yes, please.
Okay. I was saying that in our jurisdiction, SMEs do not usually have defined benefit plans. But those who do usually apply, you know, the method that is in IAS 19. I mean, the projected credit union.
Thank you.
Thank you. Edison?
Actually, I've sent the message on the chat, but just to emphasize here, at least in the jurisdiction where I live, so this topic, defined benefit plans are not a common plans used by SME. So I've never been in a situation that I have discussed it for SME, because it's not common here in Brazil.
Thank you. A very good comment. And the next, Paul?
I think Una about sums things up perfectly for me, which is that there may be a number of SMEs that had defined benefit plans in place, and they're slowly being run off the books. Most SMEs today, given a choice, go for, I think, defined contribution schemes. So, you know, we still find them in some European jurisdictions, defined benefit schemes, but they're becoming increasingly less common.
Thank you. I think this is the message quite consistent with which we heard when we deal with another IAS 19 project in relation to defined benefit plan. And also, Adele?
Okay, thank you very much. I'm sorry, I'm slightly need to take you back. When I raised my hand, I think that was when you decided to move from ahead, so I decided to put it back. For the initial question, that's for the alignment with IS 19. I think I will support the alignment. And for the elimination benefit, I think I also support the elimination from the OCI. So sorry for taking you back. And now back to what the question is. I believe in Nigeria, most of the SMEs possibly they are more tinted towards the adoption of a defined contribution rather than going for the benefit. So I think particularly in Nigeria, most of the SMEs are more likely to adopt a defined contribution. Thank you.
Thank you. And Tadio?
Yeah, just one comment that I also, and it's consistent, but at least what I understand that it happens that most of the companies moving towards a more defined contribution than benefit plan. But also what I can see is that the health system of some countries, they are changing, and then it's becoming common for companies trying to sponsor employees for their private health plans, and this also gives origin to liabilities that are within the scope of defined benefit plans. And then it's just to think about that. It's not just talking about a pension plan, but also about health plans that used to become common once the public service, health service, is not, as you can see, many countries operating well. And then this private health plan is becoming common, and companies are making this as part of the attraction plan. That's thing we should also think about, that might have some hidden liabilities even for these small and medium entities. Thank you.
I think that just raise a very good comment, because in the past, I think we focused a lot on pension plan. Now I think there are other social care or health care plan in place, and whether it is common in in your jurisdiction. If you have any comments on this this question, and have any information or knowledge on in this area, we would welcome you to provide some written comments or provide any background information to us after today's meeting. Yeah, that will be very helpful for us to gather sufficient information and also help the staff develop a proposal. Thank you so much. Yeah, thank you, Dadu. You raised a good point. Yeah. And any other comments from? No, I think we can move on to the next question. Yeah.
Paragraph 28.19 permits an SME to apply simplifications in measuring defined benefit obligations when it's unable to use the projected unit credit method without undue cost or effort. Slide 13 outlines the extracts from this paragraph. So basically, an SME is allowed to ignore estimated future salary increases, future services, as well as possible in-service mortality. The feedback to this question in the request for information said some respondents encounter difficulties when applying these simplifications. So basically, we'd like to understand whether you are aware of SMEs applying the simplifications as permitted in paragraph 28.19. And if yes, are you aware of any difficulties in applying them? And this is the question 4 on page 15.
Thank you, Tim. I think this is a question focused on very specific, paragraph, very specific requirements. And we would like to know, whether any companies actually are applying this simplification permitted by IFRS for SME standards. Chi, please. Yeah.
Thank you. Actually, I am aware the simplification permitted in paragraph 28.19. And I think maybe the simplification can reduce the cost by the projected unit credit method. I think if SME apply defined benefit plans, they generally need to hire an actuary to carry out a detailed valuation of the obligation. I mean, the actuary should do a professional due process to finish their job without thinking about the accounting standards. So I don't think to simplify the standards can reduce the cost. I think only partially simplifying the actuarial procedure cannot fundamentally reduce the cost and the complexity of the projected unit credit method. And that's my view.
Thank you. Very good comments. Yeah. How much simplification and how much cost will be saved through those simplified requirements. Very good comments you made.
Okay. I just thought about that.
Any other comments from our SMIG members in relation to this very specific question? Oh, sorry. We noticed that there are some comments made in the chat room. I think it's better to for you guys to speak up. You know, please just raise your hand and to speak, because I think the audience and some other participants attended the meeting and they would like to listen your views publicly. Yeah. Daniel, please, and then Jenny.
Thank you. That's what I said before. So I will be clear. Here is the same thing. I think finally the simplification is not just simplification, because finally you have to hire some specialist to make the actuary calculus. So finally you have to pay for the service. Doesn't matter the simplification. Right? So finally, SMEs finish applying IAS 19 because of that.
Thanks, Daniel. And Jenny?
Yes, thanks. It was just a quick comment to note that this simplification isn't available in the UK and Ireland.
Okay, so. Thank you. Thank you. And any other comments? If no, I think then can you?
I'll continue with a more specific question again. Sorry.
Yeah.
The example in slide 16 demonstrates a type of difficulties mentioned by one stakeholder. So they say that when applying simplifications, if the defined benefit liabilities should be discounted, their logic is to ignore the future service, i.e. the paragraph 28.19b, an SME assumes as if all of its employees would terminate their employment at the end of the reporting period. Therefore, for a defined benefit plan in which a lump sum amount is paid at the date of retirement, the discounting is no longer necessary. However, slide 17 presents staffed views that we do not think applying the simplifications permits an SME not to discount its liability. So with that, we'd like to ask if you agree that applying the simplifications requires defined benefit obligations still to be discounted.
Thanks, Zhen. And it's related about discounting, and I wonder whether there are any comments on this specific question from our members. Billing.
Thank you, Chen Chiao. I agree with the staff view to discount, because for SME, they are large enough to offer defined benefit plan. Technically, the defined benefit should be discounted. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? I think if there are no any other comments, the other two. Oh, sorry, I cannot see it.
Yeah, you don't see the end.
Yeah. Okay, Saifla.
I agree with the staff recommendation that it's not payable at the end of the reporting year, that it should be discounted. But there are some confusing, and some people interpreted the simplification the other way, that they assume that there is no such requirement and discounting is not required. So I suggest that there should be some clarification issued by the board or any other body, so that people clearly understand the requirement that discounting is required.
Thank you. Very good comments. Thank you. And Chi?
I don't agree with discounting the defined benefits obligation, because the DBP application, the requirements has been simplified in paragraph 28.19. That means the project unit credit method is not fully used for accurate estimation. So I don't think to discounting the obligation can provide more useful information. That's my view.
Thanks, G. And Yuna?
I really just wanted to, Jenny said we don't use the simplification in the UK and Ireland, but I read the words and I must admit I wasn't 100% certain as to whether they should be discounting or not. So I think clarification would be very helpful because I would support discounting.
Thank you. I think at least some kind of clarification needed here. Thank you. This is the message we got. And Peter, would you like to come back or? No, I don't think, yeah, not, okay. So I think, then, I think you have got your, what do you want?
Yeah.
Thank you very much for your comments. Okay, thank you.